Good morning, Home Church. Thank you for joining us again this morning. We're going to get started with just a few announcements today. First, we just want to remind you that we have a big election coming up this next Sunday, which is Father's Day. The church board has unanimously voted Pastor Carlos Garcia as a nomination for the lead pastor position here at Home Church. The next step is for the active members of the church to vote on this matter. Ballots will be mailed out to every active member of our church. These ballots must be returned next Sunday, June 21st. This is the only day that the ballots can be turned in. And we're going to be receiving those ballots from 8:30 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon on Sunday, June 21st. Now, this is going to work out perfect because we're having our drive-in service the same day. So come out, worship with us, hear the Word of God, celebrate Father's Day, and be sure to turn in your ballots all at the same time. And if you can't make it out to the service or you don't feel comfortable coming out because of COVID, you can give your ballot in a sealed envelope to a friend or family member to turn it in on your behalf. If you have any questions, please reach out to any of the board members. At this time, our church offices are going to remain closed until July the 6th, but the church board has decided to set an aspirational goal to open the church doors for Sunday services on July 5th. This will give us plenty of time to prepare the church and make sure that we can open safely. So we are also praying that the restrictions will change by then and that it will allow us to have more than 50 people in the building at a time. So please keep in mind this is tentative, so please be in prayer with us on the church opening. Until then, we're going to continue to have our church services available through our podcasts, and you can access these podcasts directly from our church website at www.homechurchnv.org or www.homechurchnv.podbean.com. So as I mentioned earlier, we are going to be celebrating Father's Day with another drive-in service. This is going to be next Sunday, June 21st. Service is going to start at 9 a.m. We had such a blast at our last drive-in service for Mother's Day, so we ask that you come out and join us to celebrate Father's Day. And of course, if you're not able to come out, we will have that service available on our podcast as well. For any of the teens that are listening in today, this Wednesday night is going to be our weekly youth group Zoom meeting. So make sure that you join us this coming Wednesday at 7 p.m. We will be sending out an email with the Zoom link, so keep your eyes open for that. We're going to be having our weekly prayer meeting on Zoom tomorrow, which is Monday night at 9 o'clock. It's really been an amazing time getting together as a church body every week to lift up our needs before God, and we would love for you to join us. So be sure to mark that down. That meeting is going to be tomorrow night, Monday, June 15th at 9 p.m., and we'll be sending an email out with the link for the Zoom meeting, so be on the lookout for that and make sure to join us. Church, we're getting ready to move into our time of giving and worship, and again, we just want to say thank you to all of you who continue to be faithful in your tithes and offerings. We ask that you continue giving online or by dropping a check in the mail. If you're unable to give by either of these methods, just please reach out to myself or another staff or board member. We want to make arrangements to make sure that your tithe or offering is received to honor God and keep supporting His work here at Home Church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you all the glory and all the praise this morning. God, we just thank you for the blessings that you continue to pour out on us. As we bring these tithes to you today, we pray, God, your blessing upon them. Multiply these offerings and use them in ways that we couldn't imagine. Lord, we ask that the Holy Spirit fill our homes this morning as we worship you, God. Let the music move us. Let it prepare our hearts as Pastor Carlos shares your word with us this morning. Anoint his words and speak through him. We pray this in your mighty name. Amen.
your name. The mountains shake and crumble at your name. The oceans roar and tumble at your name. Angels will bow, the earth will rejoice, your people cry out. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh. Shout your name, O Lord. Love, shout your name. At your name, the morning breaks in glory. At your name, sings your story. At your name, angels will bow, and the earth will rejoice as your people cry out. Lord of all, Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, shout your name, filling up the sky. We will sing, yeah, there's no one like our God. We will praise you, yeah, Jesus, you are God. We will sing, Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise, Yahweh. Shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh. We love to shout your name, O Lord. Love to shout your name. Lord, you are worthy to be praised. We exalt you, God. We enthrone you. We enthrone you, we enthrone you, Almighty God, you are holy, Lord of glory, and we enthrone you, King of hearts, and we cry, worthy is the Lamb who has risen to be seated in honor and praise. Come and take up your throne, and our hearts are yours alone. Lord, rise up within us and reign. We enthrone you. We we enthrone you. We enthrone you, Almighty God. And you are holy, Lord of glory. We enthrone you, King of hearts, and we cry, worthy is the Lamb who has risen to be seen. Come and take up your throne, and our hearts are yours alone. Lord, rise up within us and reign. We enthrone.
Throne you today, God. We thank you so much, Lord, for allowing us to be in your presence today. On your day, Lord, the Sabbath, we acknowledge you, Lord, as King. Lord, we worship you. We exalt you today, God. May your word be blessed. May it penetrate our hearts, God. Let us be different today, God. We would acknowledge how great you are, Lord, and how much we need you. We turn the service over to you, Lord. May you have your way in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that wonderful time of worship. Josh, we appreciate you. I know he misses the team greatly. So worship team, please be encouraged. We can't wait to get back together. Amen. Amen. Well, church, we are on our series right now, family series, and today is part two, and so we're going to read our foundational scripture for the series, Matthew 12:25. Turn there with me. Matthew 12:25. Jesus, again, is dealing with some divisive people. And it reads, Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined. And every city or household divided against itself will not stand. I was on a call with our district superintendent and some pastors on the district, and Reverend Steve said something at the end that stuck out to me, especially during this time right now our world is in. And he said, life is about being reconciled to God and each other. And so my series this morning has shifted a little bit due to the circumstances we're in the world. Family. We are all part of the family of God, or should be. Amen? And I don't expect everyone in the world to agree with me, because the Bible says if you're not for me, you'll be against me, right? Jesus already made that clear. But my prayer is that we all are wanting to hear from God this morning. And we take out our agenda, our way of upbringing, the way we've thought, the way we've lived. Put that all to the side. Let's start fresh this morning. There's a disease, there's an infection that's been around for quite some time that has been unresolved. This sinful, evil disease of racism, culturalism, I would even say classism. Is that a word? Classism? Is too deep for over-the-counter remedy. We need surgery this morning. Our world, our churches, our families, for something to last this long and run this deep. CVS and Walgreens is not going to cut it. Can I get an amen? So this morning, my prayer is that God speak to you as we addressed the issue of family, race, culture, class. Let's look at the Word of God this morning regarding God's view on race. John chapter 4, turn there with me. John chapter 4. And we're going to be reading in verse 5. Jesus has become pretty popular. We're told in verse 1 that he's now baptizing more people than John, and he's emerging. People are starting to see that he's not an ordinary man. Something's different about this one they call Jesus. But he's not ready to make a full public declaration of who he is. He's not ready yet. So he leaves Judea, goes to Galilee, but we're told here in verse 4, he had to pass through this little spot called Samaria. So a little geography here. Judea is in the south, Galilee is in the north. And right between them both is Samaria. It was part of the route, but the reason why John puts it here is because no Orthodox Jew in that time wanted to go near this place. Samaria, there lived the Samaritan dogs. That's what they were called by the Jews, the unclean ones. But Jesus, here he passes through Samaria because at the sixth hour there's a woman at the well. Amen? She's coming to the well, amen? Who's ready to hear from the Word of God this morning? Church, if you're with me, say amen. I know you're in your room, you're somewhere, maybe you're by yourself, but say amen with me this morning, amen. 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 Verse 5, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of the ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon when a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" Verse 8, his disciples had gone into the town to buy food. You see, the Jews didn't get along with the Samaritans. And the Samaritans didn't get along with the Jews. He meets her here, and we find he wants a drink of water. You got to be kidding me. Jesus wants a drink of water from this Samaritan woman. You mean you're going to put your Jewish lips on my Samaritan cup? Right? We know this is shocking because in verse 9, the Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew. And I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" It's a big question mark right there. For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Before we go any further, I want to go back to verse 8. His disciples had gone into town to buy food. Probably chicken. Some of you are going to get that later. It's okay. So they go into the city to buy food, and he puts this there, and then goes back to the story. I'm like, why did John? Okay, they went to go buy food, but I believe this plays a very key part to this story here later on, and we'll get to that later. The Samaritan woman is shocked that Jesus wants a drink. And why is this important? Question number one that I asked myself is, how did she know he was a Jew? He never identified as a Jew. He never said, I'm Jewish. I don't see anything here where Jesus says, there's nothing. Maybe, so I'm thinking maybe by his clothing, maybe his accent, maybe his hair. Obviously, he's Jewish. Jesus is Jewish, okay? What I'm trying to say, church, is right off the bat, Jesus didn't stop being who he was to reach somebody else. He didn't go to Samaria and try to speak Samaritan. He didn't try to find out how they dressed so he can dress like them in order to hide who he was. He was, you can see visibly, verbally, he was a Jew. He didn't give up who God created him to be. He was able to maintain his race, his culture, his identity. But even though he maintained it, he didn't let that get in the way of him doing what God the Father wanted him to do. And that is to reach across the street, to reach across the railroad tracks of life, to love someone, to care for someone who is different than him, who the rest of his culture would not reach out to. Somebody who's different. Because the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. You know, God has not called any of us to give up who we are, how he made us. God is not asking you to be anything other than what he's made in you. As long as you and I submit to how he's made us and how we relate to other people, he is made differently than you and I. You and I are to define our humanity in terms of our faith, not our faith in terms of our humanity. Jesus said who he was, but he operated from heaven's point of view. I want to stress this again. Jesus did not give up who he was to reach this woman. God is not asking you to give up who you are to reach somebody else. And we can't allow others in our circle to influence what God wants to do. We can't allow others in our circle who won't drink from the cup to keep us from drinking from the cup. We can't be so committed to our circle, to our race, that we operate, that we work, that we do ministry outside of the Christian race. We missed a good spot to say amen, including myself. The Samaritan woman was shocked. And what's crazy is you notice that he hasn't given her any Bible yet. He hasn't preached to her yet. He hasn't, what some say, crammed it down her throat, right? He hasn't done any of that. He hasn't witnessed to her yet. He hasn't given her theology. All she knows is this man is different. He's nice. You see, there's a lot of people who want to tell people about Jesus or want this world to know that Jesus lives in them, but they're not willing to drink from the cup. I might, and that's scary. I might witness to you, but I'm not going to eat with you. I'll pray for you to go to heaven, but I'm not going to deal with you here on earth. I just don't have time. That's, no. What a scary place to be. Verse 10, Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Jesus wastes no time. I love this. Here, Jesus right here, he's transitioning to just the regular conversation to now he throws in the spiritual right here. I love Jesus, man. Everything he, there's a purpose with everything he does. He goes there, sits with her, and now he finds an opportunity. Amen. God, give us opportunities this morning when we're speaking to people, when we're talking to people, when we're at the grocery store, when we see a hurting family or a family who looks like they have it all together, but God quickens us to put it on our heart to maybe just reach out and say, "Hey, want to invite you to church. Hey, do you notice, do you need something?" You know, just God, give us opportunities. And here there's an opportunity, and Jesus does not waste his time, does not waste the opportunity. Jesus is transitioning to the spiritual right here. And then we skip to verse number 13. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst indeed. The water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." She's going, "Where's this water? I want some of this water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." Jesus went from wanting water, talking about water, to now who she's sleeping with, like this. "Go call your husband." Jesus goes from drinking water to who this woman is sleeping with, and she says, "I don't have one." And Jesus says, "You are correct." Verse 17, Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you had five husbands, and the man you are that you have now is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." Jesus now confronts this woman's sin. But he probably would have never gotten that far if he would have never drinking from her cup. Verse 9, "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews..." Stop right there. Racial slur, if I ever heard one, right here. "Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and he worships, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. Notice when race comes up the first time, when race came up earlier, she's a Samaritan, he's a Jew. He asks for a drink of water. Race comes up. Jesus makes no comment. Jesus says nothing about race. Right? Catch that. When race came up earlier, he's a Jew, she's a Samaritan. He asked for a drink, race came up, and Jesus made no comment. But now she brings up race and relationship to Jesus' Father, where we worship, our fathers worship over here, you people worship over there. It's part of my history, it's part of my culture, it's my heritage. It's what I've been told. It's how I've been raised. We got two different histories. We got two different backgrounds, raised on different sides of the street, raised on different sides of the neighborhood. The world, you people, you Jews. When she brings it up the first time, Jesus is silent, but when she brings God into the picture, this is where Jesus now speaks up. Jesus tells the lady, you're wrong. And your daddy and his daddy and all their daddies are wrong. They're not worshiping the true God. I hate to break it to you, but you're following a tradition. You're following a religion, tradition, ritual. We've always done it this way. Amen. Passed down by your parents, passed down by your race. And again, they're all wrong. Because God's theology rules this world's anthropology and sociology and all the other ologies out there. God's theology rules. I want to say this morning, our identity first is not, should not be in our culture, our class, our background, our history. Our identity first should be and is in Christ Jesus. It's okay to be different. God is not asking you to like heavy metal music or country music or hip hop. It's okay to be different. As long as those differences don't conflict with God's authority. We must be Christ-like followers first. If we can get enough Christ-like followers in this world to become that before white, black, Hispanic, Chinese, Vietnamese, Asian, you name it. If we can be Christ-like followers first, Right? We start there and then we work down. We don't start with culture and then spirit is way down here. We start with that first. It saddens me when we have so many Christians divided all over the place, scattered, don't know where to stand on issues, don't know where to what position to take because they're trying to dissect it culturally, they're trying to dissect it worldly instead of biblically and spiritually. We would save ourselves a whole lot of time. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar if it conflicts with him. Well, what is going on right now? No. What does God say? What does his word say? Verse 25, the woman said, I know the Messiah called Christ, his coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Jesus is confronting this woman, and now you can sense she's uncomfortable. You ever talk to somebody, you know they're hurting and you want to help them, but they throw this religious, I mean, that right there is religious, someone who knows, just throwing it out there. Yes, called Christ, he's coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. She's feeling really uncomfortable right now. You probably think this is really awkward here. Maybe she just wants to leave the conversation. But Jesus says right here in verse 26, Jesus declared, I am the one speaking to you. I am he. Now she's faced with a decision, just like so many of us are going to be. She's faced with a decision now. Remember our disciples? We don't want to forget about the disciples went to go buy chicken, okay? Verse 27, just then his disciples returned and were surprised. That's odd. I'm going to read that again. Hold on. Verse 27, Just then, his disciples returned, and they were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want, or why you were talking with her? So, they notice Jesus speaking to a woman. They're not surprised that he's talking to a woman. I don't think they are, because Jesus has spoken to many women. Right? Mary, Martha, the woman with the issue of blood, right? I mean, Jesus has spoken to many women. But what's messing with their minds? What's messing with the disciples' minds, man? They come back and he's talking to a Samaritan. Probably explains why he let them go into the city in the first place. Jesus probably wouldn't have been able to reach her with some disciples who haven't dealt with the issue of race. Yeah, go ahead, go on, guys. I got something to do. But notice Jesus also didn't let them stop him from doing what was right. So just because your family, your upbringing, doesn't do what's right, doesn't mean you and I shouldn't do what's right. Verse 28. Then leaving her water jar. Wow. We need to pause right there. Then leaving her water jar. This water jar she took with her because she wanted water. She might have had 100 of them. I don't know. Maybe only one. But this says so many things right here. Trust. She left her water jar. Maybe she doesn't care about it anymore. She's You ever met someone who just gave her life to Jesus? You remember that moment when you first gave your life to Christ and that moment when you felt free, when you felt clean, when you felt bondage lifted? You remember that moment, church. This woman here now, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come see. A man told me everything I've ever done. Could this be the Messiah?" Verse 30, they came out of the town and made their way towards him. What a beautiful picture. Jesus now is sitting there. The disciples are clueless, just feeding their bellies, and Jesus is there. Something is about to happen right here. They came out of the town and made their way towards him. So people come to check on this one called Jesus, all because of the cross-culture relationship, witness, love, care. And you know, the disciples are kind of like, what is going on? Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something. We didn't just walk miles to come back and, I mean, come on, can you eat?" Yeah, she's crazy. Can you eat? But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you don't know nothing about." You know, the disciples right here going, "You got what? We just walked miles upon miles and came back, got you food. Who fed you?" You know, Peter was like, "Okay, who did it? I'm going to cut their ear off." I mean, you could just picture it. The disciples are going, what do you mean you have food? Verse 33, then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" Question mark. Then Jesus hits him with this. Verse 34, "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." What fills me, what satisfies me, is not that. I will do that later. I'm not going to die. What satisfies me is people. What fills me is doing the will of the Father, not satisfying my racist culture agenda. I hate to break it to you, but that's for another day. Verse 35. "Don't you have a saying? It's still 4 months until harvest. I tell you, open your eyes." Jesus is looking at the disciples. You know, they're sitting there. They got food in their hands. They're trying to feed Jesus. And there's nothing wrong with that. But Jesus is going, there's more important things going on right here, guys. Don't you guys have a saying? It's still 4 months until harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look. The fields, they are ripe for harvest. When I used to hear this scripture when I was a kid, I used to think the fields, they had a lot of corn. There was corn growing and cherry trees. And man, look, guys, the fields are ripe. Okay, go start picking the... No. You can picture here now, there's a grip load of people coming to meet Jesus for the first time. Jesus is saying, don't wait. If you can just look up, if you can just see the fields already, there are people who are hurting, who are lost, who've been betrayed, who've been forsaken, who are looked down on. They're coming. All the Samaritans are coming. What's so amazing is Jesus set up an opportunity for them to relate to people of a different race, of a different culture, a different people on the other side of the city. I want to say this morning, church, anybody and anyone can come through these doors who respect our faith in Christ, regardless of their history, regardless of their background, regardless of their race, regardless of their culture, regardless of their upbringing. Everyone is welcomed into the family. The family. Family of God. Amen. Verse 36. Even now the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Jesus is saying, hey, this time I did it for you, okay? Look at this. While you guys were over there wanting to feed your physical body, I did some work here for you guys. You guys are going to reap a harvest. Watch and learn. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. I love how it closes, verse 39. Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. You know, I know so many people who feel that God could never use them because they don't know how to, I don't know, name it. They don't know how to bake cookies. They don't know how to sing or play guitar. They don't know how to, but how many of you know your testimony is more powerful than any of that? I know a lot of talented people, but their testimony has no impact. Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I've ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him, stay with them. And he stayed 2 days. When we started out, the woman was shocked that he would even ask to drink from her cup. Then a few hours later, he's staying on the weekend. And we don't have time this morning, but the Jews and the Samaritans do not get along. There's a lot of history here, a lot of hurt, a lot of fighting. They don't get along. This is God working here. Just a few hours earlier, she's shocked he was willing to drink out of her cup. A few hours later, Jesus and his disciples are now hanging out 2 more days. How do you go from people not drinking from the same cup to hours later staying 2 days? Because when you do it God's way, it does not and should not take that long. Verse 31. And because of his words, many more became believers. Because of his words. But we see Jesus didn't just have words. If we go back earlier, he showed. He spent time. He cared. When his culture, when his upbringing, they saw Samaria and said, we're going to, let's go around. We're not going to go through there. They are the unclean ones. And Jesus says, that's exactly where I want to be. Church, I'd like you to write a scripture down and save this one in the books, man. I mean, we know it's there, but save this one. Pass this one down to your children, grandchildren, nephews, nieces. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. Turn there right now if you can. I'll give you a little bit. Please turn there with me. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. It reads, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. From every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. What a beautiful picture of the family of God. I'd like everyone to bow their heads with me and close their eyes. Just maybe this morning, for many of us, everyone, this could be maybe not for all, but for many, this, especially during times, the times that we're in, this could be a tough pill to swallow. Maybe you have some negative experiences racially, and that happens. That's why we're a church that can help you deal with those things. But most importantly, Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Jesus Christ. I want to tell you this morning, you can't let your experience control the way you view people. We can't. This morning, God is looking for men and women who will start biblically, spiritually, and work down, they'll work down racially, socially, not start with, you know, race and class, and then no, we start with the Bible. And it's there have been times I've worn different clothing from other countries to represent those people and how they live, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's not what I'm saying. We don't learn how to speak another language, and we need that. Those are good things, but notice Jesus didn't stop being who he was to reach someone else. Jesus didn't compromise his convictions to appease this woman. He stood firm on the rock. He gave truth. He loved. He was him. He was Jesus, the Son of God. And I'll tell you this morning, we are all God's children. There is none greater, there is none less. And this morning, I'd like to pray a prayer of repentance of anyone who we are all in this together, but just maybe life has a way of hurting us, and now we view a certain color, a certain class of people differently. And this morning, God wants to restore your eyes. He wants you to take off the eyes of this world, the lenses. He wants to colorblind you spiritually, where you can look at anyone and look at them as your brother, as your sister. But you're going to have to let go. We're going to have to forgive. This whole world could be, should be one family, no matter where they're from, their background. So this morning, you just repeat after me. Dear Jesus, and church, only if you feel led. I want to say that. Only if you feel led this morning to pray this prayer. The Spirit of God is tugging at your heart, I want you to repeat this prayer. Dear Jesus, forgive me for looking at others with a judgmental heart. For not looking at others the way you do. Forgive me of my bitterness. Take this hurt. Take this pain. I don't hold on to it any longer. If there's someone right now that comes to your mind right now, a name, you give them to God right now. Give them to God right now. God, I give them to you. God, we give them to you right now. Lord, give me your eyes. Lord, give me your eyes. Let me see this world as you see. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing a song of worship. Our brother is going to sing. And I want you to take this time now to worship the King of Kings, to worship the Lord of Lords, to give him your all. Sing loud and proud, even if you think you don't have a good voice. The Bible says make a joyful noise. Sing with us this morning. Hallelujah.
We enthrone you. We enthrone you. We enthrone you, Almighty God. And you are holy, Lord of glory. We enthrone you, King of hearts. And we cry, worthy is the Lamb who has risen to be seen.
Our family is a circle of strength. and love. When I read this quote, I think of our church family. And I also when I look out into this congregation and I can picture you sitting here, I also see other people who we've never met. I don't see faces, but I see shadows of people who are hungry, who need love, but will learn how to love. Our family is a circle of strength and love. Our family, with every birth and every union, the circle grows. Our family is a circle of strength. Every crisis faced together makes the circle stronger. Again, church, I want to leave you with this. Write this down if you have to. We don't start with culture. We start biblically, spiritually, and we work it down from there, racially, socially, culturally. We don't start with culture and work and work it. We start with the Word of God, the authority of God, and then we work our way down. So I hope this makes sense this morning. I'm trying to. We start with God's Word, and then we focus on the rest. My prayer later today and this week is that God will help us do our part, starting with our individual families, starting with our personal circles. It starts there in the home, in the family, and then from there into our community, then into the world, that they may know who we know because of the love we show. Be blessed this morning. I'm so excited to see you next week. Family Part 3. I'm going to be speaking to the fathers. I can't wait to see you. Church, be blessed. Amen.
Church, we just want to thank you again for joining us this morning for part two of the family series. Just a reminder, tomorrow, Monday night at 9 o'clock, we will be having our prayer meeting. We encourage all of you to join us for that amazing time. And then next Sunday, the church vote. Please make sure that you cast your ballots, make your voices heard, and make sure that you guys are here in person for part three of family. We are so excited to see you guys next week. We are so looking forward to it. We just pray that you have a blessed week, and we will see you then. Not today.